Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, it's just outside of Area 51. It's time now for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We are broadcasting from the KOA News Radio Studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, Colorado. Tonight, we've got some cool things coming up. But I got to tell you a little bit about Denver, right? There's a bank here called the Young Americans Bank. It lends money only to people under 22. That's kind of cool. They use a smelloscope to find pot smokers that don't comply with the odor ordinance in Denver. Yeah, they have one of those. Even though you walk through the streets and you'll get a whiff every now and then. And also, the international airport that we all know, the Denver one that's really creepy already, it's 53 square miles. Did you know that? That's larger than Manhattan, San Francisco, and even Miami. That's crazy. And it's only the second largest airport in the world. I would have thought more than that. Anyway, tonight, we've got some cool stuff for you. We got things going on in space, and also a whistleblower is back. So stay with us. But before then, turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks. Yes, lurks. In fact, something might be around me right now, but what lurks against us, amongst us, on us, and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis. And I am excited to be here tonight. I got a lot of cool things going on. I got to tell you, it's been crazy this past week. I'm swamped, but now I can rest and relax here. Most people think when you're in radio or TV or something, they're like, to those of us that are passionate about it, this is our time, our vacation. This is our relaxing time when we're on. Before that, I can't wait to get on the air so I can relax. So I had something neat to tell you here, so let's see, but I got to pull it up for you. But first of all, if you're new to me and you've never heard of me before, my name is Connie Willis. I have a YouTube channel called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. It's not just a YouTube channel, though. It's like, you know, nowadays with all the platforms, it's on DLive and DTube and Steemit and Twitter and Facebook and what else? There's a BitTube. So there's all sorts of Instagram, you name it, and it's under either Connie Willis or Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. So I hope that you go to any of those, especially my YouTube channel, and subscribe and be what I call a blue rocker. A blue rocker is someone in the know. We got a cool little hand signal too, and I've got a brand new logo, so in the future you guys will get to see that. But I do fun things. I do something called Crypto Connie Tuesday, so I get to talk to all the crypto experts out there. You've heard some of them here before. Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares, Michael X, Michael Taggart, Sean Worthington of Cloud. Who else? I've had quite a few people because I'm Crypto Connie, by the way. Then I do think something in the future coming up called Wasted Wednesdays. It's going to be a serious look at the cannabis industry. Thursday nights, I do something called Far Out Thursdays, anything from aliens to, you know, remote viewing to it, just anything interesting, because Blue Rock Talk is Earth's most interesting conversations. That's people, places, things. So it's always fun and interesting. Friday nights, I do a Bigfoot Friday. And it's not every night, by the way. You know, you got to see what's going on. I got to see what's happening. 9 p.m. Eastern for all those shows. And then on Sundays, I do Stan's Bible lecture. That's a college level Bible course. And that's 2 p.m. Eastern. So then there's breaking news in between, all kinds of really cool things like that. And a lot of times, I didn't get to tonight, but a lot of times I like to go on before I'm here on Coast onto my Blue Rock Talk channel and say, hey, here I am in the KOA news radio station. And I walk around and say, we're getting ready for Coast. So I always have a lot of fun. So I hope that you guys will subscribe and be notified, hit that bell so you guys can join me when I talk about fun stuff like that. Because if you're liking Coast, you're going to like Blue Rock Talk as well. So in the future, I'm going to get to do some hiking here in Colorado. I got a Bigfooter that's going to take me out. I'm not going to say any names or anything like that. He's just going to take me out and give me the lay of the land. I'm really excited about that. I'm like, look, I don't want to give away your destination. I just want to go. So I'm happy about that. I'm going to also be going to do some hiking in Salt Lake City, Utah next week. Going to be doing some crypto stuff there, Crypto Connie, walking, hiking, doing some stuff with Quintric, it's crypto backed legal tender. That's cool, right? I'm going to see their vault with gold. So it's fun. Crypto is fun, by the way. Bigfooting, of course, and the hiking is fun. Keeps you looking good, keeps you slim. And also, this is cool too. Years back, you guys know the meteorite man. We've had him here on Coast to Coast several times, many times. I'm not the only one who's had him on. But Jeff Notkin, the meteorite man, there's a big show going on here in Denver, the largest one in, I think, the country or maybe USA. Let's see here. I think I wrote that down somewhere. It's, anyway, Jeff is going to be, he's going to be here in Denver, and he's going to show me, because I'll be there at the same time, he's going to show me how to finally use this metal detector that he told me to buy. So I'm excited about that. So let me see what he wrote me back. I told him, I said, hey, dude, you know, don't forget. So we're going to get together on this. And he said, this is what he said here. You got to hear this. He's so cool. He was like, let me find it here. He's so, such a cool guy, a lover of Coast, and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But he wanted to make sure everybody knew that he was in the Denver Mineral Show at the Coors Art Room at the National Western Complex until Sunday. I know I'm going to go there. It's free. I thought I had to get this media kit. I went, oh my gosh, it's going to be like $40 or something like that. I'm going to walk in, say hi, and leave. But I love mineral shows. I love finding rocks, whatever cool rocks are out there. I love rocks. There are a lot of rock people out there, thank goodness. But this is the biggest show in the United States. I wrote that down somewhere, but I guess I must have lost that. So anyway, he's going to be out there, and he said to say hi. And I think he said if you mention Coast to Coast, they might give you a nice gift. So it's the Aerolite Meteorites. That's our buddy here at Coast to Coast, Jeff Notkin. And if you go by and see him in Denver at his booth, just mention Coast to Coast kind of thing, and he'll take care of you. Or mention Connie or whatever. That's cool. He's just a really nice guy. Looking forward to seeing him too. And I think that was all the things I wanted to educate you on. Everything educate you, is that a Kentucky phrase or what there? So that's it. All right, talked about me. This is really cool. I've got we got a whistleblower coming up later. You guys remember Derek Tyler? He was here, golly, about a year ago or so, or maybe even longer. I will find out about that. But whistleblower, he had that great book from before, the Alien Contact. Well, he's got another book out, so we're going to be talking to him. And the first one was The Difficult Truth. The second one, hopefully, it's going to be posted on Amazon before the night is up. Because he's like, oh, no, it's not posted yet. Oh, my gosh. You know how these people with their books, you know, you got to coincide with everything. So now I'm really excited about our next guest. This is Robert Zimmerman. He's an award-winning science journalist and historian. He's written 4 books and numerous articles on science, engineering, the history of space exploration, all sorts of technology. He also reports on space and science news at his website. I love the name, behindtheblack.com. Behindtheblack.com. Now, I've never met Robert before, and I've never talked to him before. Normally, I get to talk to people before I go on the show, just for a minute. You know, I don't want to ruin the conversation that we have. But I went to his website, and I got to tell you, I fell in love with him without even meeting him. He's a film guy, right? He's a cave explorer. And, you know, my background's in film and television. So, and worked with folks in L.A. and New York and Atlanta and Chicago. Chicago and Atlanta people are the toughest. New Yorkers, straight up L.A., you know, it's L.A., what are you going to do? Cave explorer, a nonfiction science author, and a ham radio guy. I mean, you can't do any better than that. So we're going to talk to him and find out what's going on in space in the first hour and see what's new and what's happening and from his perspective. So Robert Zimmerman, welcome back to Coast. I know you've been here before, but it's very nice to meet you. And you are a man after my own heart with all of the things that you love as well. So I'm looking forward to tonight with you.
Well, I got to tell you, Connie, your description of how you love rocks fits me to a T, since
Oh, I
the
love
cave
it.
exploration involves geology and doing maps of caves and pushing in the unknown. I have the pleasure of actually being where no human had ever been before in my cave exploration. So we have a lot in common. I imagine you probably come to Tucson for the Gem Show here every year, and that's where I live. So, you know, we have a lot in common. I'm glad you like Behind the Black, my website. I mean, I don't know if you realize where the title of that website comes from.
No, but I love it. I love that name. That's like awesome.
Well, if you look at the banner on the website, at the top of the page, there's a picture from the Apollo 11. This is actually probably from the Apollo 15 mission. And you see a lunar rover and an astronaut there on the moon. And the title is up there, In That Black Sky. And that's what always has struck me since I was a teenager watching the Apollo landings and the exploration then, is that the universe gives us a black sky, totally black. That's what it is when you're out there without an atmosphere. And what's behind that black is the real question that humans are continually asking. And I've been fortunate enough to live in the last half century during the period of time when the human race finally began to look, peer into that black and actually see some of the mysteries that are hidden behind it. And so I said, well, that's going to be the title of my website. And that's my goal, always ask that next question and find out what's going on.
Well, I love it. You're definitely one of us for sure. That is really, I mean, I love you said that almost poetically. That was cool. I knew some people along the way that apparently they had done the TV production for the Apollos going up, and I don't know, some of them said that they did secret stuff that they could never tell me what it was, but still, you know, that's
Well,
pretty
I'm
cool
not
stuff.
One of those that I've been involved in this for a long time, and the one thing about the NASA operation and every astronaut, engineer, manager, public relations guy, anyone that did anything in the 60s, when I write my written my histories about space and that period of time, I've interviewed a lot of people, and the one thing that has struck me repeatedly is their incredible honesty and openness. There's no secrets. They tell you everything, and they're willing to let you say anything. You know, I have a book out, Genesis, the Story of Apollo 8, which is about the Apollo 8 mission to the moon that circled the moon in December of 68 during Christmas. It's the first time humans ever went to another planet. And that mission, it's the 50th anniversary this year. And I can't tell, you know, I wrote that history and trying to get the story of the not just the astronauts and the mission to the moon, but what the families were like. And I was astonished in interviewing the wives and children and husbands how completely willing they were to bare their souls in some very sensitive personal things because it was part of the story and they felt honesty was the most important thing to tell that story right. And because of that, I was able to tell the story right, and I let them read the book before it was published, and they made no changes in it other than to correct literal errors, but they did not stop me from writing whatever I wanted. So from my perspective, there's a lot of people that like to make a big deal conspiracy stuff about what NASA was in the 60s. I'm very precise here. And that was not the way it was during that period of time. They were very open and honest. Today, I write about this on Behind the Black all the time. You've got a lot of political games being played at NASA. It's not conspiracy so much, but there's a lot of, Trump likes to use the swamp. Cruz used the term the Washington cartel. But having dealt with Washington people and been there, there is a culture there that is very divorced from what America wants. And there are problems going on in Washington right now, and it's related directly to space and our future as a nation in space. So there are differences, and you know that's where I'm coming from.
Well, you know, the guy that we have on our featured guest tonight, Derek Tyler, is going to throw out a whole lot of things about NASA that may be a little different than what you're saying. However, you're picking up on a little bit of it. But that's interesting that you said in the 60s it was totally different.
I mean, I could tell a story about, from the Apollo 8 mission. they were going to orbit the moon Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve prime time, they were going to do a telecast from lunar orbit. And the main press guy, Julian Scheer, for NASA at the time, called the commander of the mission, Frank Borman, about 2 months before, and he said, you know, Frank, you're going to have more people listening and watching you than have ever been listened to in a press telecast ever. You better think of something to say. And Borman turned to responded to Julian. He's a jet pilot. He's a test pilot. He's an engineer type. He isn't really, you know, that's really significant. I've got to come up with something good. So he asks the press, the public relations man, can you give me suggestions? And the press guy in the 1960s said very bluntly, "It is not my place to put words in your mouth."
I love it.
Yourself. Think about that compared to what we get today with the press today. They try to put words, and they successfully do put words. They give scripts to astronauts and scripts to the press guys, the announcers. Then he said no. And when they did finally, and it's a comp law, I'm not going to get into it now, though you have to read the book. In fact, we have an audio book that just came out of Genesis. But when they finally decided that they were going to read the first 12 verses from the Old Testament, they told no one, no one at NASA except the press announcer, the guy who, you know, who was the go-between, you know, who would make the announcements on the air for NASA. He was the only one they told, and the only reason they told him was so that he would not say something crass when they finished. They wanted him to be in on the reading so he could respond appropriately. But nobody at NASA knew. They were free to say, as Americans, free Americans, to say whatever they wanted, and they did. And they were not afraid to say something that had a religious aspect, but they weren't preaching religion. They picked the Old Testament because it is founding words from three of the world's most important religions. They were trying to express goodwill to as many people as possible and express words that would reflect the majesty and significance of the moment. And that's why they picked those words. And so it tells us a great deal about what America was like 50 years ago versus maybe what we're like today, where you have to be afraid. And I don't care. I'll say what I want. But you have to be kind of afraid in many contexts about what you say, because someone might come down on you and you could lose your job.
Yes.
Called bad names. And that's really not what a free society is about. You should be free to say what you want and express it freely.
I agree absolutely with you. I love the fact that you're a ham radio guy, too. Now, this is funny, everybody. So first of all, if you're just now joining us, it's Coast to Coast AM, and we're with Robert Zimmerman. I'm Connie Willis. We're talking about, you know, he's got this incredible background that I absolutely love. And so I'm looking at your site, and I see all these, you know, these great headlines about some things that, you know, I definitely want to ask you about. And then I see the cranberries. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love the cranberries.
Well, I make a point every evening on Behind the Black to do something I called an evening pause. And this is, and generally, actually, it's suggested by readers. I pick some of them. But every evening, during the week, there is something that has nothing to do with space or politics as a general rule. But it's either music or entertainment, and I try to make it as wide a variety as possible. I mean, if you scroll down the page, you'll see the previous ones. From the last few, during this week, we had a piece, a comedy from the Carol Burnett Show earlier this week. And that's just to give people a pause from the craziness of the time and just a moment of pleasure. And, you know, one of my readers sent me that clip from the Cranberries, and to be honest, I never heard of them before. I can only know so much. But, you know, I played it, and I said, oh, that's a good piece of music. I like that. So,
That's great. Oh my gosh, they used to do videos, music videos back when I don't know if people still do them or not. It seems like to me that the country stars do that, but that's when a long time ago I was a video jockey, so a VJ, and I got to play these, you know, introduce music videos. It was so cool. I mean, you know, you look back and go, at least I got to be a VJ along the way. That was That was kind of cool. So listen, stick around with us. Can you hang out there for a little longer with us there, Robert? Is that cool?
I'll stay for as long as you want me.
All right. I love that. So I'm going to ask him when we come back. I'm going to ask him about somebody trying to diss on the American flag where nobody saw it, and also ask him about some sort of space elevator experiment. So those things are coming up. Thank you that are here tonight with us. A great show, Whistleblower, coming up. Derek Tyler as well. So aliens, UFOs, conspiracy, all kinds of great stuff here. Stay with us. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here with Robert Zimmerman talking about space stuff. He's good with all this space stuff and nonfiction, right? Nonfiction sci-fi. So I guess you're not really a sci-fi writer. You're a nonfiction science writer.
Yes, but I just came out last year with a science fiction book, Pioneer, set 200 years in the future. It's an alien contact story. I've done lots of stuff. You know, if it appeals, you know, one's work should be one's hobby, Connie. So
I
want to do.
I agree. You and I are the same people. I love it. So before you tell me about the space elevator experiment, because I do want to know about that, and also about the American flag with Neil Armstrong, I think those are really both interesting. I got to ask you something about caves, and because I'm going to have you on another time about caves. I have to, because I got to ask you this. I mean, as much as obviously you and I do a lot of the same things and like a lot of the same things, caves are very cool. I love them. However, I mean, that is like spider frickin' city, bug city.
No, it isn't.
Come on.
The only place you can see a lot of bugs, life of any kind in a cave of any significant number is near the entrance, because there's light. Once you get outside the twilight zone, there's no light, which means there's no energy. And though there are insect life in the cave, it's a very small numbers. It's only going to be present if there's bats leaving guano. But even then, it's almost invisible. So no, there's nothing in the cave itself. It's a pretty lifeless environment as a general rule. I mean, you know, there's exceptions, but generally, without sunlight to provide energy, there's no life. It's and so what you go when you go caving, it's mostly the rock and the formations, the beauty. Because you know, you go to a place, I can get to go see some pretty spectacular cave passages that very few people see, that are just not available. You go to a commercial cave, you get a taste of that, but it's not the same thing as when you're in a real cave, an undeveloped cave, I should say, where it's natural. And you're doing it with just your headlamps, and you're in a room. You know, I've been in rooms that are like 300 feet long and 2,000 feet wide. I spent a week in Belize this summer mapping a cave, in which we spent 4 days mapping one room that was like 200 feet wide, 30 feet high, and 1,000 feet long, with gigantic formations throughout it. It's spectacular.
Oh, it must be beautiful.
To see these things, that's what I like about it.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, just being a Kentuckian, have you been to Mammoth?
Oh, yes. I've done some push trips at Mammoth, actual exploration trips there. I'm a member of something called the Cave Research Foundation, which does all the research and cave exploration and mapping at Mammoth, which is the world's largest cave. And I think I can't keep track. I think it's now approaching, it's over 400 miles long. It's long enough that no single human being could ever see every passage within it.
But it sure would be fun to try, right?
Oh, well, if I lived there, and I know people who do live in that area, who try. There's no question. They love it, and they go, and it's fun. It's a really fun. That kind of caving in Kentucky is especially fun because it's a big passage. You do a lot of borehole walking, borehole meaning it's large enough to comfortably walk, and you can see things. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And in that area, by the way, just, you know, because I'm a little in the know of that, there's areas, and I don't know what you believe about this, and I'll talk about the science here in just a second, but in that area, there's a lot of, people claim there's a lot of portals and a lot of Bigfoot activity and a lot of other really freaky things. So I love that.
How can I put this?
You're not that guy.
I'm a science fact-based guy.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I have no problem.
We'll have to prove differently.
Free country. I think the world and the universe is so spectacular by what we really, you know, by the mysteries that we're really studying, that I don't have to go to the more strange places. That doesn't mean they don't exist. I just, that's not my interest. So
that's okay. They, it's not, it kind of pops up on you once in a while when you're not looking for it. That's when you start looking for it, because most people, that's what happens. Something strange happens they can't explain, and then they got to search for it more. And there is no science to back it up, and that's what freaks you out the most. So let's go where science is in play. So tell me about the space elevator experiment that's going on.
The space elevator is a concept that some engineers have been pushing now for decades. Science fiction writers have pushed the idea, the concept being if you could build a super strong tether or vertical structure from the ground into space to orbital height, you could save a lot of money, and you wouldn't need rockets. You could get on the elevator and go up. And this has been pushed a lot in the science fiction community. I've always been somewhat of a skeptic of the idea for economic reasons, for practicality reasons. I think on a planet like the Earth, especially with the atmosphere and the rotation and the heavy gravity, I think the cost benefit of such a thing is minimal. But nonetheless, there is a Japanese science group, engineering group, that has put together an experiment that's going to be launched to the International Space Station this week on
this
a Japanese
week.
Cargo ship, unmanned cargo ship. And what it is it's two CubeSats, and they're going to be launched from the International Space Station. And once they're launched, they're going to separate from each other, but they will be connected by a tether. And then what they're going to be testing is the engineering for a small, what do you want to call it, trolley car? This is all very tiny stuff. CubeSats you can hold in the palm of your hand. So this car that's running along the tether for about, I don't think, 5 meters, something like that, 15, 20 feet. You know, it's going to be small. It'll be also something you could hold in the palm of your hand. But they're going to be testing to see if the engineering to move along that tether in weightlessness works. And, you know, this is kind of a first step if you did want to try to build a space elevator. And though I might be skeptical of the engineering and economics of such a thing, I am totally in favor of them trying, because my skepticism could be wrong. And it's a good technology. And I have their engineers who comment on Behind the Black. These are people who know more about engineering than I do, who point out that on not necessarily the Earth, but on a planet like the Moon, smaller bodies, it could actually be a very practical way, efficient way to get mined material off the surface. We're not now talking about moving people up and down from the moon, but moving just, you know, any rocks you happen to have dug out that have value. Like if you dig out water at the poles of the moon, ice, you want to get it up to a space station, or you want to get it to a spaceship that's going to go to Mars, let's say. Well, an elevator like this might actually be very practical. And so this is what the experiment is, and it's kind of cool. I like it. It's just trying new things.
That is interesting when you give some of the reasons for that. That's Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's this week it's going to,
well,
going
the,
to start?
The Japanese cargo ship will go up this week. They won't do the experiment this week. They will unload this cargo ship over a period of time. The astronauts on board the station. Assuming that someone doesn't drill another hole in the space station to cause another air leak, that's another story I didn't even mention to you.
Yes.
My suggestions. But putting that aside, if they will unload.
Don't tell all your secrets now. Don't tell.
At least the CubeSats.
Okay. Don't tell all your secrets now.
Now, well, this is no secret. This is a big news story last week, and it really reflects very badly on the Russians. Someone on the ground before the Soyuz capsule that brings the astronauts up to space, someone drilled a hole in the orbital module. This is the section that docks with the station from the capsule, and then realized they screwed up. And they epoxied it, sealed it, and covered it. But the seal they put on was very temporary. And so it lasted for about 2 months. And then about a week and a half ago, they suddenly, at about 7 p.m. in the evening, the ground mission control detected the air pressure on the entire space station was dropping. So they had an air leak. It wasn't so fast that they needed to wake anybody. Literally, they said, okay, the guys are asleep. Let's wait until they wake up in the morning. We'll monitor the air pressure loss. So they went, let them sleep. They woke up in the morning, and they immediately started to close modules and try to trace where the leak was. And they found it was in this Soyuz craft, and it was a little hole. And so they sealed the hole. The patching is not a big deal. Initially, they thought it was a micrometeorite, but the Russians very quickly admitted, no, this looks like someone from the inside accidentally drilled a hole. They did it very sloppily, because you know how if you're trying to drill on a smooth surface, the drill bit can slide? Well,
yeah.
There was evidence that it slid, and they put a gouge in the side, but then they did this drill hole, and then they sealed it. So is it sabotage on the ground? It happened in the manufacturing process in Russia on the ground. And Russia has had a lot of problems. It's lost its entire market share in the commercial launch industry because they've had so many quality control problems where people keep screwing up and rockets explode or crash, and customers who have to launch expensive payloads don't want to buy launch services from the Russians anymore. And here we're still dependent on the Russians to get our American astronauts to the ISS at least for another year. And here we see that someone on the ground during manufacturing drills holes in their capsules. This doesn't inspire confidence. If you're a tourist, do you want to fly on a Soyuz capsule right now? Russians have a very big problem. There's no question of that.
I have met a new friend. It is great to meet you. I love your personality.
You know, Connie, my problem is that these are not even topics we intended to talk about. You just slip something in, and I'm going to go forever.
I'm a conversationalist. No, I absolutely love it. So tell me about they tried to hide the American flag, the Neil Armstrong thing.
This is a complicated story, and context is everything, because the American society today is divided badly between people who still love America and understand its history and its belief in freedom, personal responsibility, individual rights, and less government. And then there's a lot of people who believe nowadays in socialism and actually dislike the country badly. And unfortunately, it's the intellectual, academic, entertainment culture is dominated by people who really do not like the United States. And that I've been in the entertainment business. I was a filmmaker. I was a journalist. I am a journalist. I know that community, and they don't like the United States. It's the unfortunate culture, and it's reflected in a lot of movies. So they were making a biography based of Neil Armstrong. Their biography is written, and they based this new movie, which is coming out in mid-October, called First Man, to tell the story of Neil Armstrong, the first person to walk on the moon. And last week, the guy who plays Neil Armstrong, his name is Ryan Gosling. He's a Canadian actor. He was being interviewed, and he said that they had made a conscious decision to leave out the planting of the American flag during the lunar landing. And he said, and I'm going to quote him now, "I don't think that Neil Armstrong viewed himself as an American hero. From my interviews with his family and the people that knew him, it was quite the opposite." And that's bunk. That's garbage. Neil Armstrong was a test pilot. He was a military guy. He loved his country. He was doing this to win the Cold War against the Soviet Union and to plant the flag on the moon. Now, we have to be careful here. It's a little unclear how much they're going to show of the American flag or America, focus on America. They wanted to tell his story, and that's a good thing, a personal story, and I don't have any problem with that. They might not have shown the planting of the flag, but it does appear they do include shots that include the flag, so they're not trying to hide it. But I have further information that says they did make a conscious effort to avoid showing the flag in a lot of circumstances that they could have nonchalantly, like move it on uniforms and spacesuits so it wasn't be visible, use angles that you wouldn't see it. And the reason they claim for doing that is for economic purposes. They're going to be distributing this film worldwide, including in China. And
so what? It's still the truth. What? It's still the truth. It's still the story.
You're
it's
right.
still the truth.
It's bunk. It's absolutely bunk. It's a reflection of that culture that dislikes America, that so nonchalantly wishes to take it out. And I will say that there are indications in from the quotes of the director and the actor who stars as Neil Armstrong that they definitely want to. They want to, instead of honoring the fact that this was a totally American achievement for the purposes of showing the world the right way to do things with goodwill to the entire world. Rather than tell that story, they want to instead make the claim that the landing on the moon, the Apollo missions, was a worldwide effort where everyone came together, you know, holding hands and love and unicorns, and that's a lie. That is a lie, mm-hmm. but that is the impression they're trying to do, and that appears they're trying to do. Now, I will admit, I have not seen the film. I'm doing this from, I would love to be able to see the film and make an honest appraisal of it, but my impression right now, they are shooting themselves in the foot, and they're giving us the impression that they want to devalue the presence of the United States in the film. That's the impression they're giving, and that's a bad financial decision on their part, because there are a lot of people, and I got to tell you, before I even covered this on my website, I was getting emails from dozens of readers who were saying they're doing this, I'm not going to go see this film now, and so that's the basic story right now. Whether they actually have done this or not, I do not have a solid knowledge because I haven't seen the film. But my impression right now is this is just another example. It appears to be just another example of that anti-American culture that dominates, unfortunately, our academia, the intellectual class, and a lot of Hollywood and the media.
And there's going to be so many younger people that have no clue even that story, and they're going to learn it this way first and never know the truth. That makes me Hollywood.
If my supposition is correct, you're absolutely right, and that infuriates me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility, let's hope, cross our fingers, that it isn't that bad. I intend to try to get to see this film as early as possible and post something on Behind the Black to say what the truth is once I know it for sure. I will, it's not fair to them to criticize and condemn the film entirely without having seen it, but they have not done themselves good service by what they have said about the film and what I've been able to find out about the film right now.
Agreed. Robert, keep in touch with us on that. And tell me real quick, and tell everybody else real quick, where to find you.
Well, I have my website, behindtheblack.com, behindtheblack.com. Think of those black skies and astronauts. You can get my books on there. You can get them at all the vendors. Genesis is both an audiobook and an ebook these days. So I'm
excellent.
There.
Hey, nice meeting you, Robert. I hope to meet you in person sometime.
Absolutely.
Take care. Robert Zimmerman, great guy. Just met him myself tonight. And all the producers and all the different people I've been talking to say he's great. He is. More to come here next hour. Our featured guest, Derek Tyler, whistleblower. New book out, new secrets revealed. Stay with us. You're going to like this. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.